on Father's Day. How to make your Father's Day on Father's Day. And of course, Exodus chapter 20 contains the 10 commandments. Our text this morning is verse 12. You probably figured that one out. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You know, the Hebrews called this passage the 10 words. And you can see that when you read verse 1. It says, and God spake all these words, saying. So these are the 10 words, the 10 Decalogue, the 10 commandments. And the answer to the question this morning, how to make your Father's Day on Father's Day, is simply by fulfilling this command and by honoring them. And so there got 5 points to the message this morning. First of all, this is a pivotal commandment. Some things about this commandment, it is a pivotal commandment. It's the kind of natural dividing point within the Ten Commandments. The first four deal with the vertical axis of life. They deal with how we relate to God. It's our relationship with God. And then verses 5 through 10 deal with the horizontal axis of life, how we relate to one another. Christians have divided the Ten Commandments into two unequal halves. The first four, we've divided them in how they relate to God, and the last six on how we relate to one another. The Jewish people have always taught that Moses, though, divided the commandments into two equal parts, five each, five dealing with our relationship with God and five dealing with our relationship with man. That fifth commandment, they said, would go with the first four commandments because it guides our relationship with God. The significance of that arrangement is that it mixes our relationship with our parents in with our relationship to God. And I think this is right. At least in our childhood, our parents represent God to us. They mediate the authority and the love of God. Certainly this commandment is an important point between the vertical and the horizontal relationships that God has given us. And I think in reality that the home is pivotal. It's the place where both sides of this relationship, the relationship with God and the relationship with each other, comes together. Healthy relationships on earth flow out of a healthy relationship from heaven, with heaven. Our relationship with God largely determines how we relate in our earthly relationships. Having a healthy relationship with God helps us in our relationship with one another. But all the relationships that we have with one another also flow out of this relationship that we have with our parents, giving God first place in our life results in really our whole life falling into place. If our relationship with God is not right, our whole life is off kilter, not right. But if our relationship with God is right, then it'll help us with all of these other relationships in life. In other words, getting the vertical right orders all of life. And we see this happening in our culture today, and it's very sad. What we see is Romans 1 taking place, in that when people lose God, they lose themselves. That is happening. People lose their orientation. They get confused, disoriented, when they don't have this proper relationship with God. And respect for authority starts with the family and will produce harmonious relationships in the home and in society. Respectful children are a, let me say this, they are a national treasure. It is quite a treasure to have children that are respectful, because they grow into the kind of people who make human relationships work on any level. They bless society. They bless society with their righteous example and their healing balm in a religiously fragmented society. Now, you've been taught to respect your parents, and then you go out and you have a healing balm on our culture. People are quick to point out respectful children. I've had people come up to us and say, "You are blessed with your children. They are so respectful." Perhaps you've had that too. Why do they say that? They say that because that's not the norm in society today. Disrespect in the home can and is producing a fragmented society. Tragically, we see much of that today. I don't want to harp on this morning, but I do want to mention that verse 12 rules out same-sex marriage. A family is a father and a mother. Our society is so confused today, we don't even know what marriage is. And again, I think it all starts because we don't have the right relationship with God that we need to have. I was reading, did you know that there are at least 82 gender identities in our culture? 82. What kind of gender identity do you have? I can't possibly see how they can get so many. I get two. You know, male and female. How do they come up with 82? But everything is falling apart because marriage and the home is the basic building block of society. And if we can't get the home right, we'll never get society right. So again, the question would be, what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? The word honor that is used here in the Hebrew language means to be heavy. Be heavy towards your father and your mother was often used of giving glory to God. It means something that is weighty. It has the idea of esteeming or valuing or giving due weight to that position. It's saying that parents should be the heavyweights in the lives of their children. You know, God is never trivial. So the respect that we give God and the respect that we give our father and mother is that we are to give them a ton of respect, a heavy amount of respect, to greatly esteem them and to prize them as gifts from God. So obviously this forbids showing any disrespect. Now this cuts both ways. I realize that. Fathers and mothers we should do, I include myself, we should do all that we can to earn and gain the respect of our children. We should make it easy for them to honor us. We should make it easy for them to respect us. So how do we do that? Well, we become good at parenting. And Adrian Rogers said there are three things you need to be a good parent. Be firm, be fair, and be fun. I like that. Be firm, be fair, and be fun. But there are times when we have to be firm. We have to enforce limits of discipline. We need to listen to our children, spend time with them. We want them to honor us. We should honor and show respect toward them as well. Learn to let them go at a certain point in time in life. Don't smother them and overprotect them, but be wise in those areas. Now, parenting is difficult. All parents know that. It's not the easiest job in the world. I heard about two mothers. One said, "My daughter doesn't tell me anything and I'm a nervous wreck." The other mother said, "My daughter tells me everything and I'm a nervous wreck." So it's true both ways. Parenting isn't easy. We work hard at it. But how do you make your Father's Day on Father's Day? You give Him yourself. Really, that's what it comes down to. You give Him yourself. You can give Him a wonderful gift, but it's hollow. It's a hollow gesture if you don't give Him yourself as well. We should give honor and respect, and if you're a child still living at home, you should give your obedience. And if necessary, we should give Him forgiveness. Give your Father yourself, and I'll tell you, that will make His day, not just on Father's Day, but any day. Now, you know the way to fulfill this command. It changes over time. We honor our parents in different ways over time. It's different when you are 10 years old than when you are 30 years old or when you're 60 years old. The principle still applies. We still need to honor, but it's carried out in different ways as that parent-child relationship changes. When you are a child at home, you owe your parents compliance. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the word obey means to listen under, to be under your parents' submission. You honor them by doing what they say. You know, as there are times maybe when they would ask you to do something that's wrong, of course you don't do that. But as long as you can obey them in the Lord, you do so. And by the way, you do it with a proper attitude. As we get older in the middle years, we don't really give our parents compliance. Our parents aren't telling us what to do anymore, but what we give our parents then is courtesy. We give them devotion, respect, and appreciation. We show them kindness. We want to hold their counsel in high regard. And whether they are a believer or not, that can make some difference here. But even so, even non-believing parents, not Christians, sometimes have some wise advice because they've got the experience of life. So we give them compliance, we give them courtesy, and then in our later years, we give them care. We give them support. We give them attention, encouragement. We should call them. We should care for them. We should speak well of them. And if you can't speak well of your parents today, at least don't speak ill of them. Remember them when they are gone and honor them with your life when they are gone. You know, I think of Jesus. Even He was a great example here. He's the model son. At the age of 12, He submitted Himself to His parents' authority. And then when He was on the cross, He moved into that area where He cared for his mother. And He made arrangements for His mother to be cared for. As He's dying on the cross, He's thinking about His mother. And He says to the Apostle John, He says, and to His mother, you now are going to have a relationship. John, I want you to take care of my mother. I'm sure take care of her just as I would take care of her. And there are always questions that arise. If we are to honor our father, what do we do if we have a father that is dishonorable? What if we just cannot honor the man? Well, I think you can give honor them at least for the life that they gave. And that their position that they occupy. Your parents gave you life. And that position should be honored. Honoring an abusive parent doesn't mean ignoring the mistreatment, nor does it suggest that abuse is justified. But on the same token, evil is not overcome with good. Evil is not overcome with evil, but by good. And what we have to do sometimes is work toward forgiveness. Do you ever think about that word forgive? I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, to forgive is just what the word says. Give, to give a gift. But for, you give a gift before it is earned or desired. So to forgive someone is before they even deserve your forgiveness, you give it to them. That's a tough thing. But that's how God treats us. before we ever asked for forgiveness, before we were ever worthy or deserving of his forgiveness, he sent Jesus to die on the cross so that he could forgive us. And there's one thing about forgiveness, and that is that it has a boomerang effect. The gift that we give out, the gift of forgiveness that we give out, comes back to us. And you know what? We actually get more than we give. Because when you forgive, something happens to you and you get peace. And you get freedom. And you get a heart that's been healed. You get liberty. And God is glorified. Now there's a verse in the New Testament that I'd like to point out. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Find your joy in this. Find your joy in pleasing the Lord. If nothing else, I have a hard time honoring my parents, but you know what I can do? I can honor the Lord, and I can please the Lord. And in this matter, if it honors the Lord and it pleases the Lord, then that's what I'm going to do. Do it as unto the Lord. I can give you something to think about this morning. When you grade your parents, grade them on a curve. You know what a curve is, right? You've been to school, and I was always glad when they graded tests on the curve, because they took the highest grade in the class, even if it wasn't deserving of an F, that person got an A. And everybody else got graded accordingly to that. Grade on the curve, because you know what? Your parents weren't perfect. I'm not a perfect parent. But you know what? They probably did the best that they could. So do it as unto the Lord. Find your joy in pleasing the Lord. And don't compound their sin with yours. All right, here's the second point this morning. How can you honor your parents, particularly your father, and realize that, number two, this is a pressing commandment. This is a pressing commandment. This commandment differs from the other nine in one key aspect. All other commandments are basically until you die. But this commandment has a limited time for you to obey it. We can only fulfill this commandment as long as our parents live. Of course, we are to continue to honor their names after they are gone, but we can only honor them personally as long as we both live. There are some benefits of obeying this command that last a lifetime, but again, it can only be obeyed for a limited time. Do you realize that at some point in time, you're going to be left with nine commandments? Some point in time, your mom and your dad are going to be gone, and then you only have to keep nine. And we realize this morning that because this commandment is limited in time, it's limited in duration, it can produce regret. And if you're here this morning and you have regret because your parents are gone and you weren't always able to honor them and keep this commandment and make things right, what you need to do is seek your Heavenly Father's forgiveness this morning, because He is the one that can bring healing. And then from now on, live your life in such a way that you don't add to that regret. But this is a pressing commandment, and it should produce in you who still have parents who are still living, it should produce in you a sense of resolve. You only have a window of time to fulfill this command. You don't have a lifetime to get it done. You only have their lifetime. And so get it done. It's a pressing commandment. The third thing is, it's a positive commandment. There is no negative attached to it. If you look at these commandments, 8 of the 10 are stated in the negative. There's only 2 that are positive. One is to remember the Sabbath day. The other is to honor your parents. Most of them are thou shalt not. But of course, even the commandments that are stated negative are still positive. If you keep them, positive things happen. It is positive to not do those things. And then God chose, and he could have stated the commandment this way. He could have stated it negatively like the others. He could have said, thou shalt not dishonor your father and mother. But he didn't say it that way. He could have stated the consequences of disobeying this. He could have said, thou shalt not dishonor your father and mother, or things aren't going to go well for you. But he stated it in the positive with a dividend attached if we obey it. For the Jewish people, the dividend is Exodus 20, verse 12, the second part of that verse, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Actually, it was a statement of national security. He's saying, if you obey your father and your mother, I'm going to give you national security. You're going to live long in the land. And this commandment and its dividend tells us that God is good, and it reflects his goodness to us. It reflects, it's to be a balancing point in our parenting. There are negative commands that we have to enforce, but we need to be positive in our parenting as well, as God was positive. God used negative commands, God used positive commands. The fourth principle here this morning is that this is a promising commandment. I want you to turn to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at the New Testament counterpart to this Old Testament command. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 1 and read through verse 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Remember, the word obey means to listen under. Be attentive and respond accordingly. In fact, the Puritans taught that a child should be the parent's echo. When a father speaks, his child should echo back in obedience. But notice there's a change in verse 3 from what the Old Testament command was. Verse 3 says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It doesn't say that you would live long in the land. And so this promise becomes a promise to all of us. Originally, the promise was for the Jewish people. But now, there's a principle that applies to all of us today. And when you think about it, then, in honoring your parents, you are actually serving your own best interest. For your own good, you need to obey this command. This commandment will pay dividends later in life. Obeying this command invites God's blessing into your life. And what is promised here is quantity of life or longevity, that thou mayest live long on the earth. But I also think that quality of life is promised here. There is well-being, that thou mayest be, that things might be well with thee. There's a sense of God's blessing. There's a sense of God's fullness. An abundant life is a good way to translate this. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that you might have a long and abundant life. Obeying this commandment will add years to your life and life to your years. Now, I know this raises questions, because we probably, everyone knows someone who was obedient to their parents. They were a model child. They were obedient to their parents and they died early in life. Or we might know somebody who didn't honor their parents and lived a long life. How do we reconcile that? Well, I would say this. I would say, if they dishonored their parents, even though they lived a long life, it probably wasn't well with them. They probably did not have an abundant life. The other thing is, this is not an ironclad guarantee, but it is a general rule. There are many providences that determine a person's life. Obedience and honor do this. They do foster self-discipline. And a self-disciplined person by itself leads to a better life and most likely a longer life. It fosters in us stability in life, which brings longevity and well-being. And I close with this illustration there. There was once a very old man whose eyes had become dim, his ears dull of hearing, his knees trembled, and when he sat at the table, he could hardly hold the spoon. And he spilt the broth upon the tablecloth, or he let it run out of his mouth. His son and his son's wife were disgusted at this, so the old grandfather at least had to sit in the corner behind the stove. And they gave him his food in an earthenware bowl and not even enough of it. And he used to look towards the table with his eyes full of tears. Once, too, his trembling hands could not hold the bowl, and it fell to the ground and broke. The young wife scolded him, but he said nothing and only sighed. Then they brought him a wooden bowl for a few halfpence out of which he had to eat. They were once sitting thus when the little grandson of the four-year-old began to gather together some bits of wood upon the ground. "What are you doing there?" asked the father. "I'm making a little trough," answered the child, "for father and mother to eat out of when I am big." The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and presently began to cry. Then they took the old grandfather to the table and henceforth always let him eat with them, and likewise said nothing if he did spill a little of anything. Here's a point that I want to make through that story. Your children will probably treat you the way you treat your parents. You want to be honored and respected, you honor and respect your parents, your children's grandparents. If you come from a Christian family this morning, I want you to know that you are so blessed. And if you come from a Christian family and you are not following the Lord this morning, I want you to know that the greatest thing that you could do for your parents, far and beyond the greatest thing that you can do for your parents, is to become a part of God's family yourself. Every Christian parent wants their children to be a part of God's family. Every Christian parent wants their children to serve God. And I would just challenge you today to honor them, not just for their sake, but for yours. Because we all stand before God one day, and I'm going to stand before Him with Him being my Father. And I hope you do too. But if you don't stand before God with God being your Father, you will stand before Him as God being your judge. I'm so glad today that I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad that God is my Heavenly Father, and Jesus said, you can call Him Abba. You can call Him Daddy. Have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this morning. I just want you to reflect. I'm not going to ask for any raise of hands this morning, but I just want you to know that this is a pivotal commandment. And I also want you to know that this is a pressing commandment. If you need to make things right with your parents, do it now, because there's only a window of opportunity that you have. Realize today that it's also a positive commandment. And it's a promising commandment, because there is a promise to you attached with it. There are dividends that accompany this commandment. Father, today I pray, if there is anyone here that does not know you today as their Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ, is not their Lord and Savior, I pray that before this day is over, they would become a part of your family. For as many as received Him, that's Jesus, He gave the right to be called the children, the sons and daughters of God. I pray that each one here under the sound of my voice someday will stand before you, and each one would stand before you as their child, and you would be their father. I pray that not one would be left to stand before you when you have to act as their judge. Lord, I pray today that you would help us to make our, those of us who have our fathers living, that we would make our Father's Day on Father's Day. That we would give, most importantly, of ourself to him today. And I pray, Lord, that as we recognize you as our Heavenly Father, that you want us as well. If we would give you any amount of gift and don't give ourself, it would be a hollow gesture. So help us, Lord, to renew our commitment, our relationship with you today if we need to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we would like to honor all the fathers, all the dads this morning. So if you'd come and stand up front today and face the congregation this morning, we have a gift for you and we'd like to pray over you. Praise the Lord. And if you're sitting there, would you just reach out your hand toward this group of fathers this morning? And let's just pray for them. Father, we thank you for these men. I thank you for these fathers, husbands and fathers here today. Lord, I pray that they would feel honored today. We do this, Lord, because your word tells us that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. And certainly honor is due these dads, especially these dads as they're here today setting a Christian example by spending their day in the presence of their Heavenly Father. Bless them, Lord, I pray. I pray that you would build a hedge of protection around each of them. Lord, I pray that you would keep away evil from their households. Keep evil off their doorsteps. And may they be a blessing to their children. May their children be a blessing to them. Thank you today, Lord God, that you are Heavenly Father, and we just want to hallow you and your name today. We just want to bless you and honor you. Receive us again as your children. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. So guys, help yourself to the dad's root beer. And then you are dismissed. A happy Father's Day to everyone. God bless you.